Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Hello, World Cuppers. Welcome to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller and Luke Moore's here.
I'm tired already.
A happy Jim Campbell's here.
Knackered.
And Pete Donaldson!
I'm back on top, baby.
Lovely to have you back, everybody.
We're right in the mix now. We're right in the thick of it.
There are two teams who have played two games. It's not their first game anymore.
No, you can get over it. But Marcus, it's exciting now because everyone's played at least once. So we're right amongst it now.
Really?
Yes.
Italy haven't played yet.
True, actually. They're slow starters as well, so we'll see how they get on.
The Dutch are probably fighting among themselves.
They probably are, just not at the World Cup.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. The Russians. What a wonderful start, Jim, they've made to the tournament, scoring 8 goals in their opening 2 games. The joint highest for a host nation after 2 matches, of course. Italy in 1934 also had that record.
But they conceded one more, so this is actually the best start to a World Cup.
Can you imagine suggesting that before?
I know.
Well, I suppose in hindsight, it wasn't that ridiculous considering how shockingly bad Saudi Arabia were, and Egypt without really Mo Salah.
But still. But Marcus, that is fair enough with hindsight, but I had a decent amount of my friends were saying they quite fancied Saudi Arabia to nick something against Russia because everyone thought Russia were poor.
I had 1-0 down for Saudi Arabia. I mean, to be fair, they are getting the rub of the green. Well, they have 4 shots, 5 shots in that match, and they managed to win fairly handsomely and fairly comfortably. They are getting the rub of the green, but that's what you need in the World Cup. You can't complain about it.
Do you mean against Egypt?
Against Egypt,
They had 11 shots, but only had 6 on target, and scored 3 of them. But the other thing, sorry Jim, just very quickly, it's not that, you know, Russia have looked at the tournament and thought, right, we don't want to properly embarrass ourselves here. We know that we're the lowest ranked team in the tournament. Now, of course, part of that is because of the lack of competitive games and all that kind of stuff. But they're not stinking the place out. They're playing some nice stuff. They've got some players that catch the eye, Cheryshev and Golovin particularly. Juba looks decent enough.
And the midfield are controlling things.
They're playing okay.
They're really clicked.
Absolutely. I mean, we all said after the Saudi Arabia game that, weirdly, despite the fact they won 5-0, it wasn't actually that impressive display because they didn't hold on to the ball very well and they looked a little bit sort of disjointed and nervous. Yeah, yeah. Perhaps that was just opening day nerves because they looked a lot more composed yesterday. They were clearly the better team, played good stuff, and they've just got the wind in their sails. And it's great for the tournament, as we said after the first game. It's really, really good that Russia have got off to this flying start, and everyone's sort of just wondering what they're up against here now.
They're up against Cherchesov.
Mm. Yeah.
He looks like a man with a plan.
He does.
Do you know what I mean? He instills a bit of confidence. He's a mighty man.
I think credit to the manager, who was saying that he thought it was all going to be okay. And you know, of course, that's very easy to say. And it looks like he's been very wise now.
Mm-hmm.
But he was saying that, to be fair to him. But special mention as well to the fans. The atmosphere looked amazing in that game yesterday, which you'd expect because they're the host nation.
Mm-hmm.
But they really got behind their team. And it, I think it really helped them on, actually.
There was a very controversial moment, of course, just before the kickoff, FIFA may look into it, where the ball boy took the ball off the plinth.
Right.
Not the referee.
Very naughty.
Unacceptable.
I mean, what did we think of that? Because the referee didn't, there was a little glance as if to say, can VAR? Come on.
Yeah, and Marcus, I don't know why they're looking into it, because to me that sounds like an open and shut case.
Yeah.
There's no investigation needed.
I was more worried about the other match where Falcao, the referee didn't know which way he was kicking the ball.
Yeah.
Get, can we change round? That's something you see in Sunday League. Get unbelievable.
Get Eden Hazard to kick that ball, boy.
Damn right. Yeah, quite possibly. He won't do that. There'll be none of that at the Belgium games.
No.
You'd certainly hope not anyway.
They've learned their lesson.
The game, it's sort of a nice tempo to it, actually. I know there wasn't too much to hang your hat on in the first half between Russia and Egypt. But I just, Egypt needed a win, and of course Russia wanted a win, and now we're entering that second round of games. Teams need wins. They can't, like Tunisia, for example, and say Switzerland, and totally understandable why those teams did that, and others as well, Iceland, of course, and so on. They can sit back, they can dig in for a point, but when you have sides who need a win, otherwise they're out, or maybe not out, but it's looking quite perilous, they need to come out a bit more. The first round of games have been very entertaining. We see even more entertainment, Peter? I want more entertainment.
Well, I think the teams that you would usually imagine would get results are going to be working even harder to get results, but will they lose their minds? And the second round will be even crazier than the first
round.
I hope so.
Will there be more losing of the minds?
We were talking about this before we got in the studio, how people are going to be trying to be a bit more tactical in their final game to sort of guarantee if, say, Germany end up being second in their group or perhaps even not qualifying.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be going, right, do we need to be second or first?
Yeah, that's right.
So the third matches might be a little bit, well, we don't want to win this. Do you want to win this? I don't want to win this.
And England are in the final bracket as well, so we will be playing, like, Maguire up front.
Well, the way he was driving forward, I think he deserves to be further up the pitch.
But you know, it's remarkable the amount, I mean, just going back to the Russia game, remarkable the amount of games we've seen so far that have been 0-0 at half time, yet haven't ended 0-0.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's been something, 7 or 8 games that have been 0-0 at half time. Russia, of course, they are all but through now. I mean, it'd be a staggering set of circumstances for them not to make it through to the second round. They're probably going to play Spain or Portugal, you'd have thought. Now, a lot of football to be played yet, we know that, but it's looking likely.
You would think.
But I wonder, I mean, Russia are now 33-1 to win the tournament with Bet365. £10 returns £340, including stake. But you wonder if you offered it to the Russian fans before the tournament.
What, winning
round.
The World Cup.
Second round against Portugal or Spain.
I think they'd take it.
They'd have bit your hand off, wouldn't they?
Well, Portugal, definitely.
Yeah.
Spain, you're probably going, that very much is where the tournament ends, you know. It could be Iran, Jim.
But you know, on the Portugal thing, I spoke to Andy Brassel for On the Continent, which comes out later today, who's with the Portugal camp in the Luzhniki at the moment. And we were saying that, I was saying that I wonder whether Cristiano Ronaldo papered over the cracks a little bit there for Portugal. But he said that they were really happy with their performance, and he said he thought personally they played really well and they're a better team than maybe they're getting credit for, and they're a lot more settled. So
against Spain as well,
and
who
of course,
looked impressive.
They countered very well, and that's not necessarily how they're going to set up against Morocco and Iran. They'll probably have a very, very different agenda when they set out to dominate the game more, and you expect they'll be able to do that.
But then, Jim, You're right. Obviously, they definitely won't play exactly how they played against Spain, because that would be a little bit silly. And they need a win, because let's be honest, they only drew against Spain. They need a win.
Got to chase down group leaders Iran.
They certainly do. But they're up against Morocco, and Morocco needs something.
Yeah.
So I wonder if Portugal may just slightly sit off them, because they will leave gaps at the back, and they're a far cry from Spain. And if they look good on the break against Spain at times, my goodness, you'd expect them to get a lot of joy against Morocco.
Before we move on completely from the Russia-Egypt game, it's probably worth a mention for Mo, Big Mo Salah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, we don't have to move on completely.
He was there in body.
Just about, yeah. I mean, it was... I think we can all agree it was nice to see him smash home that penalty and get a World Cup goal, and at least there was a flicker of the Mo Salah.
He had a couple of chances, but he looked like a player who hadn't been able to fully train or get sharp.
Well, he'd been training alone.
I don't think it was anything. Everyone's sort of saying, oh, he still looks a bit injured. I don't think he looked injured. I just think he looked a little bit off the pace.
He's just a bit wary.
And everything had to go through him when... You know, that's never a good position. Look how Messi dealt with that last in Argentina's first match. It's never a good situation.
But that type of injury he has, you know, with the shoulder,
affects mobility,
shoulder barging, and all the rest.
I think he was
trying to stay away a little bit from the action. Completely understandably,
very visibly shying away from any sort of physicality.
Yeah,
yeah.
And because I think he knew that Russia knew it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, cool.
But and it affected his confidence because there was a chance where he's completely snatched and slashed at a ball that was just inside the penalty area, and the amount of times we've seen Salah this season for Liverpool take a touch, take another touch, carve a bit, half a yard. Just be confident and then play the right finish. He was just nowhere near being able to do that.
He was trying to do things very, very quickly, wasn't he? And also, I think, you know, injured or not, the way Egypt play is so much slower than the way Liverpool play. So you're not necessarily going to get the same Mo Salah anyway, because so much of his game is about that really quick sort of link play and that speed of thought. And Egypt just don't have the players around him to do that in the same way.
And when you're 2-3-0 down, it's not ideal.
No, exactly. I mean, they had a little go, didn't they, Egypt? And it was a shame that they couldn't add to the one goal they scored, which would have been a lovely finish to the game. Mm. But in games like that, a little bit of quality can go a long way, and a fully fit Mo Salah actually could have grabbed that by the scruff of the neck, because Russia, they were pushing forward, there were gaps at the back, but it just showed. And the first goal was an absolute stinker, wasn't it? It's so unlucky.
Straight off heart. OG is the top scorer, right? That's going to irk Ronaldo. Fire him up.
And Kane.
Yeah.
But you know,
Ronaldo will set that straight, Jim, by the way.
I was a little bit confused by Egypt's approach, purely because I wonder if it was a similar thing to when Brazil lost Neymar in the last World Cup and it affected the whole squad. Salah is their standout player, and you wonder whether they just looked a bit lost without him. And even when he was on the pitch, they knew he wasn't fully there. And they would have known. And I was confused as to why they didn't just try and keep it really tight and try and nick one. Because they're playing Saudi Arabia last. I mean,
they could
have just tried it, but they left themselves way too open. I think Hegazi, who I think is a good centre back, and I've been consistent with that. But he's by far their best defender, and the others didn't seem like they're up to much. And Hegazi quitted himself pretty well, but he can't do it all on his own. And the gaps they were leaving for particularly Cheryshev to exploit were fairly obvious. So all in all, a pretty disappointing World Cup for Egypt, obviously.
Certainly,
But it does go to show you, just very quickly, the draw in the order in which you play the games is important because, you know, Egypt go up against the hardest game first. They get beaten narrowly. It affects them badly. All the other stuff that's gone on as well. They're then playing the host. It's actually a tougher draw than maybe was considered for Egypt, looking back on it now.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to go to Group H, gentlemen. And I know you're with me, Peter, with this.
Pete Donaldson's Group H.
Because Japan
Japan
got themselves off to a winning start. It was the first time winning on European soil, beating South American opposition. And what a great winner. The first sending off at the tournament. It's happened. We've got that under our belt.
If you are going to do that, don't do it in the first few minutes.
No. Don't be the second fastest red card in history of the World Cup.
At least be the fastest.
I was going to say, if you're setting your stall out. But it was a silly one.
It was a very silly one.
I mean, it's a baffling decision. It's not as weird as the Umtiti one. Because it's a lot closer to him. I think it's almost just instinctive, isn't it? Sometimes players, it's that close to them. It's just a sort of defence mechanism that you're not in control of.
It's a poor decision to put your team up against it from the third minute. I mean, he was sort of trying to cover for Tottenham's Davinson Sanchez, who made a right hash of it, by the way.
He was poor at the back, wasn't he? He was obviously being very good for...
But he did have to play sort of 87 minutes without someone that he's used to playing with, though.
Kagawa with a very confident penalty.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Just rolled it in, dispatched it quite nicely.
Well, watched the keeper kind of commit and just went, I love that.
Yeah.
One of those decisions on the handball where it's easy to say, and of course you're right, it's instinctive and it was in the heat of the moment and all the rest of it. But to me, it's almost like, I know that Japan were going to score if he didn't do that, but take the goal.
I know.
Just concede the goal. You're 3 minutes in. You're probably on paper a better team. Reset, so it's not the start we wanted, but we've got 11 men on the pitch, we can go and maybe try and turn it around. Very hard to do that.
I think his thought process has let him down there.
Sure.
It was a very quick decision. But the annoying thing is, with that whole situation was, one of their better players, obviously Falcao, he had a lot more work to do. I thought he actually played quite well. Leading the line, coming deep, picking the ball up. I thought he played quite well.
He's nearly on the end of a couple of
situations, yeah.
Very close, Peter. Mm.
What did you make of the free kick?
It was nice. Japan missed a few chances to make it 2-0 up.
They will do that.
But then Quintero scored that lovely free kick, which Falcao fouled the defender and got given a free kick. I mean, it was genius.
He's a very good player in that sense.
It was one of those ones where...
It was outright. I just thought to myself, if you're Japanese and Japanese player in that game, you would just think, oh, come on.
Yeah, my theory on that, and this happens a lot in football with referees, my theory on that is to be a referee at the top level, and a lot of them are quite a bit younger now because they have to be athletic and physically fit and all the rest of it. So to get to that level of refereeing at that age, you've almost got to have been a referee since you were really young.
Yeah.
So as a result, you're probably going to spend the lion's share of your time refereeing games. You're not going to play games. So whereas in the past, older referees might have been, they used to be players, but then they couldn't really make it, so then they became referees. So they've got an understanding. Mm-hmm. My theory on that decision there, that type of decision, is that it's just the referees, they don't know enough about what it's like to be a player. Even if you've played at a really low level, you know exactly what the four's doing there, and they don't pick up on that.
I think, Luke Moore, you're suggesting there should be job swaps going on.
Yeah.
Get the referee into the teams, and then some players referee, and so the players will think, you know, this is tough. A little bit more sympathy. They'll go with what the referee's saying, and then the referee can have a run out and spot these things that you're saying.
Well, the referee should...
Clattenburg up front.
The referee should have a job swap where he plays in a position against a team of bastards.
Yes.
Who do everything to play every rule in the book, try every law in the game they try and sort of circumvent.
All agreed.
And then the referees will know, and then that sort of free kick won't happen. But in a way, I'm pleased it did happen because Japan still won the game.
They deserved
to win.
They did.
And we saw a lovely free kick.
It was a beautiful free kick. Yeah. The goalkeeper in slow motion, it sort of was like, is he going to get there? Oh, dear.
Oh, no. It did look like Japan had thrown a good opportunity away there as well. And you sort of worried for them for a little bit. I'm delighted that they got the win.
There was an extraordinary piece of punditry around that particular incident. I forget who was who said it, so forgive me. But it was almost, you know, this great debate about whether the ball should jump or not.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously if you jump, then the ball can go under you. And certain players have exploited that in the past. But if you don't jump, it's easier to get over the wall, obviously.
Yep.
It might have been Phil Neville, but I don't necessarily want to besmirch his name unnecessarily.
He'll do that himself.
Yeah. He said, well, what we were told was just only jump 6 inches. Because then the ball can't go under. And it's like, okay, so how are you going to know it's 6 inches when you're jumping?
Well, Alex Scott said that the teams that she's played in, they were told never to jump because of deflections as well and confusion for the goalkeeper and obviously the ball going under you. I would always tell her to jump.
Most keepers say, like, the further out the ball, the more... it's actually more of a hindrance to actually
100%.
Have a wall, isn't it?
100%.
Because the keeper can just see it. Mm-hmm. And get over.
I think you're absolutely right. I think if the free kick is further than
30,
there's no point having a wall. Get in the middle of the goal.
If you are Kawashima, the Japanese goalkeeper, all bets are off because you're a bit crap. He was pretty crazy
at
times.
Was he the oldest Japanese player to play at a tournament?
Probably.
I mean, he's only 35. There was some record.
He's not King Kazoo, I know that.
He's certainly not.
No.
Get Kazoo in there.
My opinion of Japanese goalkeepers has been irredeemably biased by the fact that Pompey had Yoshi Kawaguchi for a while, who was absolutely horrendous.
But what about some of their defensive work with James Rodriguez bearing down on the goal? Osako, the goal scorer. What a block that was.
Yeah.
Heroic Jim Campbell.
It was.
Well, I'm referring to you there.
Thank you, mate.
Yeah.
It was one of those strange ones as well where the angle tricks you a bit and you think, has Rodriguez kicked that backwards? It was a weird one. But
it was good to see James Rodriguez coming on. Deemed not fit enough to start, of course, hence he was on the bench.
Presumably he'll be starting from now on.
It's also
like, you know, it's a great win for Japan and it's a nice story because I don't think many people would have rated their chances against Colombia if Colombia had 11 men.
Colombia were the favourites to win the game, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I hope Rodriguez will be starting from now on because I want to see what they can do. It's good to see
Falcao
at the World Cup and just seeing them in full flow. It's a good group, this.
Yeah, it's really tough to call, I think. Mm. You know, Japan are 3-1 to beat Senegal in their next game. So £10 with Bet365 returns £40, including stake.
Absolutely.
That's, of course, on Sunday afternoon, I think.
Then you're home and dry, aren't you?
Home and dry.
Yeah,
and that's the thing.
You're right. Jim makes a really good point there because, you know, you don't get many chances in the World Cup. And if you have a man sent off after 3 minutes and you come out with a defeat, you think, well, our plans are now in pieces because we expected to win that game. Mm, we thought we had everything we had to win the game. And then you have every chance really taken away from you. It would have been a huge effort for them. Certainly in modern times to be able to play for 87 minutes and win with 10 men. So it's very difficult for them. And they play Poland next, who, to be fair, didn't look that good, actually.
No, they didn't seem to turn up, did they?
Well, we'll talk about Poland in the second half. Very much so. But I'd like to mention Carlos Valderrama in the stands with his wife, who had similar hair to him.
Yeah, yeah, nice. So almost like a Brian May, Anita Dobson type situation.
All for it, I'm
sure. Who wants to sit behind them?
Well, exactly.
Not me, anyway.
I would. Restrictive view tickets.
If you're going to have your view restricted, let it be restricted by that.
By LP, mate.
The Japan fans videoed cleaning up the stadium after the match. It was bit sort of a theme in Group H.
Yeah, Senegalese are doing that as well. Yeah,
it's the cleanest group.
The cleanest group.
I love that.
Thanks to those wonderful fans.
That's normal in Japanese society, isn't it? As people attest.
Everything you need to know about professionalism is that the All Blacks, the greatest, arguably the greatest sporting team of history, all have to clean up the dressing room wherever they go afterwards together after every game. Because it basically helps to sort of harvest and foster sort of humility and team spirit and stuff. I don't imagine many football teams do that. No. But it's good to see the fans doing that in the stadium.
Very much so. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back to talk more football after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Good ball played through for Shabalala, who is onside. It's a real chance for Shabalala! And he fires it home in style!
Remember that one? What a moment.
I was waiting for the immortal line.
No, I didn't want to put that in. Because it ruined the World Cup.
Could that really be 8 years ago?
Oh, we were there briefly, weren't we?
We were.
Very briefly.
We crossed paths with England, didn't we? They flew home as we flew out.
Yes.
I think they flew home a lot earlier than us. But yes, welcome back to the World Cup Ramble, everybody, in case you were wondering where you were. Poland, they were very disappointing. They lost to Senegal 2-1. It was a great win for Senegal and Sisi. I'm enjoying the manager Cissé on the touchline. He looks quite stylish, switched on chap. Two fortuitous goals, but they'll take it.
Yeah, I think deserved as well. I think Senegal were the better side. They had a lot more energy about them, and they seemed a little more direct and dynamic. And Poland just looked a bit leggy and
very
just
ordinary.
Their
communication just seemed to be all over the place. It's very messy.
They're the seeded team in the group.
Yeah.
Didn't really play like that at all. My goodness, yeah. And it'll be fascinating because, as you say, they're playing Colombia next.
Yeah,
both teams need a win. I don't keep saying that, but that'll be an interesting game because Poland are going to have to do something more. Colombia will attack them. No doubt about that.
Maybe their seed was a laburnum seed.
It could have
poisonous.
Been.
Another Oggie as well. Speaking of poisonous events, own goal.
That was another stinker of a goal.
If every team is scoring an own goal in this tournament, looks like it anyway. Mm-hmm. But England are going to do one at one point. I'd rather they did it when we're 3-0 up against Panama than in the knockout phase.
Get it out of the way.
Get it out of the way.
What about Niang, eh? Off the pitch, came back on, said thank you very much.
Would you be fuming about that if it was against England?
No, because
we'd be still talking about it if it happened in 1968.
A famous World Cup.
The reason why they shouldn't be too fuming, as you say, is Chesney can see the whole thing, decides to run for it.
Yeah.
The defender can see
a dreadful pass.
The defender can see Niang.
Yeah.
In his peripheral vision, like there's absolutely no way he
was Krakowiak, wasn't it? Who lopped it over? Back. Yeah.
So
there are chances to deal with it way before it becomes a problem.
Absolutely right. And if the referee said he can come back on the pitch, then
he can come back on the pitch.
He can come back on the pitch. I don't see what the argument
get
is.
Get on the pitch.
Get off
get
the pitch.
Get off the pitch.
So
Presumably, Marcus, you've put in your notes that you didn't think Senegal were particularly brilliant.
They didn't have to be, though.
No, but they were the better team, you'd say.
Yeah, but they didn't. That's the thing. They didn't have to be brilliant. Mm. They didn't have to do much. They got a fortuitous opener.
Yeah.
And then the second one capitalised on the mistake, and that's enough to get the 3 points, and you've got a toe in the second round.
I do hope the next round is as good as this one. It's been absolutely batshit.
You were saying that earlier, Pete, like, and you were saying, do you reckon it'll calm down? And I was just saying, my theory on it is that the first round of games in a World Cup will inform the second round of games, right? Mm. Different teams will need different things. We hope England, for example, will be quite serene against Panama. The pressure's off them a little bit. Panama are a poor team. England got a confidence boosting win. If you're Germany, playing against a rugged, tough Sweden, you're probably a little bit more nervous, because although Germany are a better team, so Sweden aren't going to make it easy. And one thing about Sweden is, since Latan's left, they look compact. They look like everyone knows
their job. They look rugged and tough. They're an RTS.
They are rugged and tough.
The Pete Donaldson
That's the squad, latest squad freshness album, isn't it? Preacher and Plastic Bertrand.
Real-time shooter, RTS.
Yeah.
Of course, the Senegal fans helping clear up in the stadium after, which was delightful to see as well.
Mm. Yeah, and something we mentioned About five minutes ago.
So you didn't want to give them a mention for that?
No. You only support Japanese
right?
team?
Is that right, Peter?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Okay, well, we won't mention them.
Would you like some emails?
Marcus?
Not yet.
Marcus, after that horrendous piece of misbehaviour from Pete Donaldson, he'll be clearing the studio up after the show.
Oh, that'll make a change.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, we're in every day. It is getting quite messy, guys, so start your stuff out, all right?
Before we move on, Luke, you're a man who employed the dark arts when you played the game. Was it Sané who fouled Lewandowski?
Yes.
It was the only time the big striker found a bit of space. He tried to motor into it, and Senegal were thinking, no
way.
Yeah.
And
the covering defender probably... Well, it was a genuine attempt to play the ball.
Wow.
So, the John Champion, the commentator, said, but there was a covering defender that probably just ensured that it was a yellow card.
But are you enjoying Ali McCoy on co-coms?
If you're not enjoying Ali McCoy with John Champion...
You're a Celtic fan.
Jim, come on.
I'm really enjoying Ali McCoy's little cultural excursions he's having between games. And he's just sort of reporting back on the things he's been doing in the cities, which I think is absolutely wonderful. But one of my pet peeves about football in general, and this is magnified hugely in a World Cup, is you will see a pundit trending whenever there's a game on Twitter, and it'll be someone going, oh, I wish there was a mute button for same sort of boring, inane, mindless jokes over and over and over again. There's so much negativity towards pundits. Not the case with Ali McCoy.
No, lovely.
He's the only one. There is all that as well, still, as there's always going to be, but there's a lot more positivity in that, and I like that. He seems really fun.
Jim.
I'd like to spend time with Ali McCoy.
Marcus and I have been fortunate.
I've been fortunate
to work with him a number of times, and I'll tell you, he's the sort of guy that if you come away from that thinking you don't like him, you've got something wrong with you, because he is the most infectious, fun, nice man. It's a pleasure to work with him.
If you're out in Russia and you get to go on the cocktails with Koisty, I'll tell you
and
what.
He will go out on the piss with anyone.
I loved it when he said he was talking about Blaszczykowski had the longest name in the tournament. I think it was 11 letters.
Yeah.
And he said, joint longest name. And so he was quite proud of that fact. Although presented it in a very, is this worth anybody's while?
Yeah.
And
then, I think it's actually 13 letters.
Oh, was it 30?
Yeah. But Blaszczykowski, isn't it?
Yeah, but John Champion said, we've had a bit of correspondence. Alexander-Arnold, Milinkovic-Savage, they've got longer names. And he just went, no hyphens in my game. So next question, John.
Starting it out.
Speaking of people doing little excursion and stuff, did you see what Harry Kane said about the Battle of Stalingrad?
No.
Oh yeah, it was delightfully inane. It was one of the most inane things.
You know, it's like the big statue of the Motherland calls and stuff.
It's an amazing statue.
He said, "The history, it is what it is."
Yeah. True.
There we go. It's true though, isn't it?
Isn't everything is what it is.
Yeah. Okay. To be fair, Kane's goals are his business, Donaldson.
Yeah.
Very quickly before I go on to this, Lewandowski, I really wanted to pick up on a point about him because he's the standout player at Poland, and it's almost as if in the team talk, the Polish manager was like, right, what they'll expect us to do is get the ball to Lewandowski the whole time.
No.
We're giving him five touches max.
Yep.
And he better be ruthless with him.
They won't know what to do.
And he wasn't. No. Poland are now 7-4 with Bet365 to qualify out of their group. So bit of a tough ask for them, of course. £10 returns, £27.50, including stake.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Donaldson. I've got some emails, guys.
Oh.
Hello to Paul, a student physio in Manchester. All this talk of Nobby Solano has me reminiscing of the 2010-2011 season for my club, Hull City. Nobby signed for us in the summer of 2010 and quickly took up residence in the neighbouring village of North Ferriby. He quickly set up his own Peruvian trumpet class, which people could go to weekly and be taught to play the trumpet by Nobby himself. I mean, I've got no proof of this happening.
Don't worry about it.
It sounds very much on brand.
Yeah.
You won't be surprised to hear that this didn't really take off, as the people of Hull didn't really have the appetite to learn the Peruvian trumpet. I don't know how that differs from a normal trumpet. Maybe it's just the way that you do it. I don't know.
Altitude.
I still believe to this day that fact played a small part in the player quickly moving back to his roots in the northeast, where I can only assume the appetite to learn the Peruvian trumpet is greater.
Yeah.
I did learn the cornet / trumpet when I was at school in the northeast, so maybe it's...
Was it Peruvian?
It's a big... the way I did it, mate.
Yeah.
Playing a bit of O Sole Mio in a Peruvian manner.
Your teacher said, you're not very good. No, I'm playing the Peruvian style. Your next chance to perhaps get a glimpse of Big Nobby is tomorrow afternoon when they play France, I think at 4 o'clock.
Oh, we've all got to be behind Peru there. Nothing against the French.
Where's the Solano cam?
Yeah.
get the red button out.
We've got an email from Ahmed Nada. Depressed Egyptian here with... With Egypt's penalty goal, Egypt have now been to 3 World Cups, scored one in each, and have not scored from Morton Place since 1934.
That is a barren spell.
Magdi Abdelghani scored a penalty against the Dutch in 1990 and released several videos taunting Egyptians about being the only one to score in almost 100 years. What a dickhead. And finally for now...
Against the Dutch,
yeah.
Finally for now, please can I remain anonymous for this one? This is the email, not me. I guess you know who I am. I am at a advertising conference in Cannes, aka a massive piss-up. Last night I went to a party for the England game where Jim White interviewed Big Sam pre-match.
He told me he was doing that.
I didn't listen to any of that, but I did end up standing next to Sam for the first half. You'll be pleased to know he spent the entire half complaining about the heat while nailing gallons of Guinness and kilos of chicken wings.
Good lad.
He only looked up once to give Lingard some shit for missing before getting back to his own little party. Photo attached, and he has attached a photo, and yes... those people are in residence. So thank you, anonymous texter / emailer.
Great stuff. Ooh. Could have been Big Sam himself. Just put the feelers out, let people know he's open for business.
Fine with it.
Yeah.
If you want to get to the show, show@thefootballramble.com is how you can do that.
Nice one, Petey. Nice one for emailing in, guys. Today's fixtures, we mentioned Portugal versus Morocco earlier on, and we mentioned that Ronaldo will be setting the record straight. He must be offended that Cheryshev has pulled level with him on 3 goals, so affect Ronaldo to put a lot of clear blue water in between him and that man. Ronaldo's men need a win, and will they get any sort of inspiration from disgraced former president Sepp Blatter possibly being in attendance?
Yeah, possible. I mean, he was photographed.
Yeah.
He was photographed with a couple of... I'm not just saying this to wind you up, Jim, but a couple of football fans, one of which had an Arsenal shirt on. So he's definitely in situ somewhere.
Uh-huh.
But we were talking about this earlier and in the context of teams that need a win. If you're Morocco, presumably you're not just going to play really open because you need to win the game. You're going to do what I suggested that Egypt should have done earlier, which is keep it really tight and try and nick something.
Yes.
There's no way they're going to go toe-to-toe with Portugal.
Because they're playing a better side.
Much better. But I think Morocco, as you said, Marcus, as well, Morocco were very unlucky against Iran. I thought they were the better team. But, of course, doesn't count for much if you don't score.
But if there's one man who can spire some footballers...
It's Herbie Fox.
It's the big man. The big Fox Renard.
I thought you meant Blatter. I thought Morocco could take heart from the plucky underdog in the stadium.
So with Blatter, I mean, he's got a standing invite with Putin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's seems to be part of the reason why he's going to be in attendance. But he's also banned from football activity. So is he essentially saying...
He's not allowed to give any comment on it.
Yeah. No, but
he's got to sit really still.
But yeah. is he essentially saying, I know I'm going to get like an extra 2-year ban on top of this for this, but I'm still going?
No, because but this is not football activity.
Sort of.
No, because FIFA said before the tournament, didn't they, when Blatter said that he might be at the... what was it? The coming together of all the FIFA delegates or something. Right, he sort of suggested that he may be there, and FIFA quickly said he's welcome to come to the tournament as a spectator.
Oh, that's right, you're right.
So he's fine to
is
be
he,
there.
Is he allowed to come as a cleaner so he cleans up after all of the fans afterwards?
Oh, yeah. I doubt Sepp Blatter has cleaned anything for more than 30 years.
He certainly didn't clean up his act.
No, exactly. Oh, he's satire.
Blatter's ban is more sort of black and white, say, than the strange situation that Rafael Márquez finds himself with Mexico, with some of the sponsors. But we'll talk about that on the continent. Yeah. It's worth
that is a bizarre story.
It is quite bizarre indeed, yeah. What else have we got? Uruguay versus Saudi Arabia. A chance for Suarez and Cavani to fill their boots.
Mm. Or have Saudi Arabia been playing possum? Are they going to bounce back in fine style?
Imagine that. They kind of lulled everybody into a false sense of security. And now they're going to hammer them.
Well, listen, there's three games.
I'm sure their mindsets are really... After a hammering, after nearly crashing their own plane, I imagine they're having a great time.
They never nearly crashed their own plane.
A bird smashed into it.
Yeah, was that bird released different. By...
Anyone else?
The Iran team.
Yeah. You know. Released that
So today we've got Portugal, Morocco, Uruguay, Saudi Arabia, as we've heard, and Iran, Spain. Does anyone here think we're going to see
an surprise?
An upset? Any upset? Even a draw?
I think it might be an upset too far, even for this World Cup.
Yeah, right. You never know.
It is Suarez's 100th appearance for Uruguay, so he might absolutely fill his boots.
Oh, yeah, by which you mean fill his mouth with someone else's flesh.
He's going to bite some goals, etc. Luke Moore, what's our best bet with Bet365?
We'll get Jackie Ortley in.
We got another. get her on the phone. Best bet with Bet365 this time around. Of course, we've still got the standing one from yesterday, which is both teams to score in the Portugal v Morocco game later today. So keep an eye out for that one. Today's best bet, I'm going big. I'm going exciting. I'm going over 3.5 goals in Argentina v Croatia tomorrow night.
Love that. Mm.
I think it's two great teams, obviously. I'm hoping there's going to be goals. I think there will be. It's 3-1 with Bet365, and that's where our £50 is going. If we get 4 or more goals, it'll return £200, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. Don't forget, you must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, it's begambleaware.org.
Love that bet, Morsey. Argentina need a win.
They do.
Modric is going to think, through balls galore.
Croatia can punish him.
Do you know what? I feel myself in the way that I kept saying, it's the first game, I'm now saying they need a win.
If Argentina and Germany both go out in the group stage,
they won't.
I will kiss Pete Donaldson.
Where?
On the face.
Kiss me when England scored?
I did actually, right on the mouth.
Next to your wife?
Yeah. That's why I did it.
She told him
furious.
To.
Furious. Yeah.
I looked over at her and said, this could be us, but you playing.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. We're off to see Mr. Renard and his wonderful white shirt. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
And when are we back, Marcus? Tomorrow. Again. Tomorrow's. It's never ending. Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey Donaldson.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from me and all of us in the city of London. London, goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
and Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.